This season of the Mum Break podcast is brought to you by Bathorium, Canada's favorite clean and green beauty bath products. They make all-natural bath bombs, bath soaks, bubble baths, and accessories with no artificial fragrances or toxins. And they're vegan and ethically produced. To get 15% off, go to mumbreak.ca/bath. I want to take a quick minute for this season's podcast sponsor, Bathorium. I was so excited when they agreed to sign up to be this season's podcast sponsor because I have been a huge fan since COVID started. And even more interestingly, I wasn't a bath fan before I started using their products. I didn't like the idea of having to sit still and take a bath. And now through COVID, it is the only time that I can and only way that I find I'm able to decompress and take a moment to myself. My favorite are the bath soaks. They're so, so wonderful. And I get out feeling smooth and relaxed and amazing. And they've decided to give you guys 15% off on everything on their website. All you need to do to get the code and get access to that discount is go to mumbreak.ca/bath. I'm super excited to support this Canadian company who make all of their vegan and ethically produced products in Canada. I even love talking to the marketing manager, who's an Ottawa mom, who is a wonderful human being. So super excited about this podcast sponsor. Go check out their stuff, mumbreak.ca/bath, to get 15% off. Hey guys, I am really excited to talk with my new Instagram stalker recipient, Tanya, that Punjabi mom here, who I've forced to join this episode and debut her podcast career as now a viral Instagrammer, but also hopefully you'll have this long, lustrous podcasting career as a guest. So thank you for letting me bully you into that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be on here.
For those of people who haven't stalked you quite as aggressively as I have, maybe you can just tell people a little bit about yourself before we kick things off.
Sure. So I'm a mom of three kids. I'm parenting a five-year-old, a nine-year-old, and a preteen, which is super fun. And I just looked to Instagram as my outlet when the pandemic started and all the kids were home and life was turned upside down. Instagram kind of became my outlet to have that connection with other moms and just form a community of people I could vent to or just learn from. So I'm on Instagram and I'm apparently a bit funny. So I'm sharing that with the world, and I've never really been able to do that before. So it's just an amazing creative outlet to showcase myself and to showcase my family. We are followers of the Sikh religion. We stand out, we don't cut our hair. My boys wear patkas, which are head coverings. My husband wears a turban. So I feel like Instagram is a great way to show our family to the world and bring us into the mainstream in whatever capacity I can do.
I love that so much. And I think it's really cool that you do it in a way that's combined with this own personal sense of sarcastic, witty humor that you have. And I just love it. Because how I found you is, like most people I'm sure who have found you, is through that one viral, well, not one, you have multiple viral reels, but you're like big viral reel, which I checked a couple days ago and was at almost 3 million views. I don't know what it's at now. Is it, have you cracked 3 million?
It stopped at 2.7 million.
Oh, that's so unsatisfying.
Well, it was still a huge number, so I'm
happy. It's still big. You're so close. That's huge. It's huge. And it's, I'll try, I know you guys are listening and you're not actually going to see anything, so I'll try to describe it. Essentially, it's a video of you being just like, maybe you could tell better than I can.
Yeah, it's just essentially, you know, a mom saying like, no one listens to me and I have to keep yelling until I lose my shit. It's the only way the kids listen.
I don't know that you know this, but I'm sure a lot of people think of you regularly, because now I regularly think of you because this is all the things my podcast guests want to hear. I was getting ready for morning routine. And for those people who don't know who are listening, I'm in Ottawa, Canada. So it's cold and it's winter right now. So that routine involves getting them into multiple layers of snowsuits. And I had this date where I was just like, F it. I'm going to be calm and chill and I'm not going to yell at them. And I'm going to be the coolest mom ever. And they're all going to listen to me and I'm not going to freak out once. And I had you in the back of my head because I was like, I should just yell at them because that's literally the only way that they're going to listen. And as soon as I gave up and I yelled at them and I unloaded onto them, they did everything I asked. It's like, frick, Sonia.
Well, I feel so bad because I got comments afterwards. I mean, 95% of the comments were like, oh my God, this is so true. This is so me. I'm so like happy someone can relate. And that felt great. But then there were the people who were just like, you shouldn't yell. That's parent. And I'm like, I know that. This is not what I do all the time. I try to be calm. But as a last resort, you know, you lose your shit sometimes.
100%. And it's funny because I, again, when I say I think about you regularly now, because I now associate you with like having essentially what you're saying is what most moms do is we try 95% of the time. We've said it 99 times in a calm way, in a nice, loving, compassionate way until eventually we have to be somewhere and we snap and we raise our voices or we yell or we lose our shit or whatever it is. And then they listen because my daughter was outside our front light post spinning it around like a freaking circus right beside the car, not getting in our van. And I was like, Aubrey, please stop spinning. Please get in the van 1800 times. And eventually I just yelled, I'm like, get in the van. And she's like, oh, mommy, why are you yelling? I was like, you're not listening to me.
Exactly. They're always like, why are you yelling? Like, sweetheart, did you not hear me when no, I wasn't yelling?
I don't think they do. I wonder about that though. Do they just not hear you unless it's at a certain volume or they just tune it out? Well, you have older kids though. So what is that about?
I mean, they're so used to hearing my voice. I've been a stay-at-home mom or I've worked from home like the entire time. So I feel like they're sick of me. Like my youngest once when she was 3 or 4, she actually said the words, mom, can we buy a nanny? And I was like, first of all, you don't buy nannies, but like, you know, yeah, she was bored of me. Like the thought of having someone else take care of her was exciting because I've always been around. All they hear is my voice.
Oh my God. That's so cute. Do they listen to your husband?
No. They listen to me more than him, which is surprising because I feel wonderful. Like most people are like
the opposite.
Oh, when my husband steps in, then they listen. We don't have that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous. That's one. I'm the opposite. Whereas for whatever reason, they're just, it's like my voice. It's like, I'm on mute. I feel like I'm on mute all the time.
Yes. Well, I got a great tip once, which was don't yell, but get right in their face, look them in the eyes and say it very convincingly and it'll work. And that's great if you have the time to do that, but I'm like running all over the place, but
yeah, you have three kids.
You want to be a better mom.
Yeah, you can use that every when you have the moment, right?
Yes, it works.
That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. So 5, 9 preteen. How old is your preteen kid?
He's 12. He's
12. How's that going with those age gaps or those ages? Is it super fun?
Yeah, no, the age gaps make it tough because I always wish I could go back and have them closer in age. And I know there's pros and cons to both. But I get so jealous when I see friends, kids like all playing together and going to the same sports classes. My kids are like 3 to 4 years apart in school each. Mm. So, you know, they don't really get along and they're being forced to now, especially, you know,
when they're home all the time.
Yeah. So it's tough. And, you know, every age has its challenges. I feel for people who have toddlers because you can't go to music class. You can't go to the park. But the preteens are tough. Because, you know, they don't want to be at home with their parents as much as we don't want to have to deal with them all day. For me, that's the hardest age.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm kind of just ignorance is bliss at this point. Yeah, but I can't.
That's a good way to live.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so funny because right now, and again, this will be aired hopefully after the vaccine is readily available, but it's everyone's talking and all excited in the midst of the hub of like, yay, vaccine, this is all ending soon. But I'm not letting myself get excited about it. It's just, nope, I'll be homestuck here forever. Wear my mask for the rest of my life. Nothing's changing. My
you know, that is the best way to live is to have low expectations, because then you can actually get excited. That's something I've definitely learned over the years.
The bar is low, real low.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of low bar, how did it feel to start this Instagram platform and start just being using it as a outlet for this crazy journey that you're on, and then all of a sudden blow up? Like, that must have been such a cool experience, and also then starting to get some of this hate stuff in there as well. So how did that first start, and how did that ball get rolling? Super curious.
It was insane. So I started with no expectations. It was just, you know, let me put myself out there. And it took a few months, and I formed this great community. And it's really hard to get followers. Like, there's no
secret sauce.
Yeah, with the algorithm, and people ask me for tips, and I'm like, I can give you tips, but honestly, like, what works for me may not work for you, and vice versa. So it was a really slow climb, and obviously everyone has that 10,000 number in mind. They want to get to 10,000 followers, which you are well past, but you know, you want the swipe up link. So I was like, okay, I had a goal of like, okay, I'll get there like end of next year. People say it takes X amount of time. And then one day I post this and it goes viral. And it was like a 2-week period. I went up a few thousand followers, and it was just ridiculous. I mean, it was amazing. I couldn't keep up. Like, I would wake up in the morning and it was just, it was like 800 new followers a day. So it was amazing. And I kept asking myself, why? Like, why is this reel blowing up? But the comments I would get of mothers who could relate, you know, I'm like, okay, this just really struck something in people. But it was an amazing experience, because it gave me this big jump to get closer to 10K and really exposed me to a much bigger audience. And so it's been amazing. I'm so glad it happened. I don't know how it happened, so don't ask me, but it happened.
It's so funny, because as soon as I saw the video, I was like, shit, I have to ask her to come on the podcast before she gets too famous, and then she doesn't have time for me. Because you just have, I think it's not necessarily just that one video. I think it is, when I take a step back and look at it, it's how you are as a person. It is your light, sort of funny jabs at things, your honesty about parenting, but with this twist of humor. But then you also have this different side of things where you're just trying to like normalize your day-to-day life while living with the Sikh religion, right? So it's this really interesting combination of stuff that people have come to you because they saw this funny reel, and then they stay because they're like, huh, this woman's kind of awesome. So I think that's what it is, because that's why I've stayed, and that's why I hunted you down.
Yeah, it's, you know, initially, I remember I put a post up about this months ago, like, what's my niche? I'm not a beauty blogger. I'm not a parenting expert. Like, I don't know what it is. And then a couple of months ago, I realized it's random. Like you said, it's a random combination, but I'm here to entertain and I'm here to share. So whatever knowledge I have, whatever I can do, I'm sharing my life, my experiences, but I'm drawing people in with the funny stuff. And some people stay and some people don't, and that's totally fine. But it's a nice way to get my name out there.
I think it's good though, because that's how, especially if you're trying to just, like, as you said, normalize your family and what your family looks like in the world. It's hard to do that. Or sorry, let me flip this around. It's easier to do that when you have a larger audience to see, right? You can still do that with a smaller audience. It's still possible, but now you're accessing whole new areas and whole new segments. And it's really cool, because then you can just start normalizing things.
Yes. Oh. It's, if I had just come on and been like, I'm a Sikh mom, these are my Sikh kids, this is what our family is, that's fine, but it would have been a small audience. So yeah, like you said, you draw them in and you show them that this is normal. And that's really my purpose.
I think maybe if people aren't familiar with your religion and sort of your day-to-day life, like, what do you want people to know? What, sort of is maybe the biggest misunderstanding or misconception? What's, if, you know, if you were to start with a couple things, what would you want to share with people about what you're trying to normalize?
So I guess it's just that there are so few visible Sikhs in the world, in America, in Canada, that most people have never even seen a sick or met a sick. I live in Connecticut, an hour away is New York City, where everybody has seen a sick. I live in this little town where, you know, there's not another single sick kid in my kid's school, or I think really in the whole district. So we've had an amazing experience where my kids have never been bullied. We make it a point to go into their classrooms every year, just give a fun presentation. We read a book, we dance. Like, it's really just to normalize. We pass around some patkas. Like, you can touch them, feel them. You know, it's not a mystery. There's hair and it's covered. So we do that every year. The kids have had great experiences, but that's not true for all kids around the world. There are so many cases of sick children being bullied, being beaten, just because they look different. And I don't want to raise my kids in this little bubble where life is great and easy. We always remind them that there are people outside of this bubble who don't have all that we have, who are not having the same experience. And through Instagram, I'm really reaching like that wider audience. I'm not stuck in this little nice town bubble. So it's really just to show people that we look different, but we're just the same as anyone else. I was born in California. You know, I was raised the same way as everyone else, but I balanced two different cultures. And now my kids are balancing that. So really, that's it. It's just we all look different. And I just did a collaboration recently about this. Ask, learn, educate. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to be curious. Raise your children to be curious, to ask questions in a nice way. And just like you said, normalize it. Normalize that we all look different, but we're really just all the same.
I like that so much. And I really, especially as a parent who is trying to teach my child about the world and trying to teach, there's so many things now we want to teach our children. And it's so funny. I say to Aubrey all the time, she's at the stage where she's just becoming a amazing and evil little human being all at once. I'm like, Aubrey, my goal is to keep you as a mom, to keep you safe and to turn you into a good, loving, kind human being. Mm-hmm. And I usually yell this at her. Like, you should have listened to me. My only job is to keep you happy and healthy and to turn you into a good person. You know, like we've all hit that moment.
That's the worst when we say, don't yell, like 2 minutes after we just yell.
Oh, like she's learning this from me. Crap. Yep. Oh my God. But so as a parent, there's so many things I want to teach my child that are sort of outside the scope of our day-to-day lives. I'm so grateful that, like, you and your husband as an example, you go into the school and you're teaching and you're helping, because these are things that I can try to learn, but I'm not always doing the religion or the culture justice, and which is why I also wanted to talk to you today, because I'm like, she's funny, she's amazing, she's down for any conversation, this is great. So in terms of teaching, I guess, I'm taking a step back about your religion. What are some cool, fun facts that you would want to share and you would want people to know about your religion?
So I'll tell you what we focus on when we go into the kids' schools. So it's really basic. We read them a story and we really stress the point of, we ask them, like, what do a fireman and a police officer and a superhero have in common? And, you know, the kids will throw around their guesses, but what it comes down to is they all have a uniform. They all stand out because, you know, you can go to them when you need help. And a Sikh, like, our religion was created as a way to fight injustice. It was created about a little over 500 years ago in South Asia, in the state of Punjab. And it was at a time when there was just so much injustice. There was a caste system, there was religious wars, and our gurus basically created it as a way to fight that. So the core tenets of it are really equality between men and women, elevating everyone, telling them there is no caste system. We are all equal. We all have the same opportunities. You don't have to have less than because you were born into a certain family. So, and on top of that, also, it is our job to serve humanity. So a huge part of being a Sikh is to help others, to fight for others, whether in the old days, it was to pick up a sword to fight for, you know, religious minorities or whatever it was at that time. And now there are just so many amazing Sikhs out there who are using their pen, you know, what, or their voice, whatever it is, to fight against injustice. So that's something we've taught our kids from the beginning. We all wear a kara. It's a steel or iron bracelet. Every single Sikh wears one. And it's a way to remind us of our connection to God. And I tell the kids, it's to remind you to always do good. So really, those are the core beliefs. And we kind of shrink that down to a kid level, but we're always reinforcing that to them. You were born to stand out. You look different. It's a way for people to know that they can come to you for help. And they may not understand that initially, but that is your job. That is why you're in this world, is to help others, to stand up for others, to never bully people, but to see if anyone is being bullied and stand up for them. And that's a hard, you know, it's a lot for a little kid to digest. But one of my kids on the playground, he came home and he said, I forgot the boy's name, but little Tommy fell down and he got hurt and I didn't know what to do. And I saw my kara on my arm and I knew that as a Sikh, I had to do something. So I ran to the teacher and I got her help. And I will never forget that. This was like 10 years ago, but no, not sorry, not 10, like 7 years ago. But it just makes you aware that all these lessons you're passing on to your kids, even if they're really big lessons, like they get it. They get little pieces of it and they apply it to their lives. So I think I went off on a tangent there, but that is essentially what a Sikh is and what we're trying to impart to our kids.
It's such a powerful message. And I think when we're talking about passing it along to your kids, it's as a parent too, it's tricky because it's this big, huge, like you said, it's when they're younger, it's this big, huge, fundamental fight against injustice. But then you think of it from the practical application standpoint of playground stuff and the day-to-day of school, of how do you apply it? I think it's so cool that, and I'm assuming it's your oldest son, that mm-hmm. that was story was about. It warms my heart to hear even just that level of kindness and compassion. It's so cute to think about him doing that at that age. Like, that's pretty spectacular. And that speaks a lot on the volume of you as a parent as well, right? So kudos to you.
Well, it's like little bits and pieces, right? They can still be jerks. I'm not going to think my kids as like amazing little kids.
You just got viral on a reel about yelling at your kids. So it goes both ways.
I'm not preaching here. But, you know, when my oldest was born, we were so bent on like Harvard, Yale, like we want our kid to be super smart and I need to teach him his letters. And I read all those books on how to really stimulate their brains. That was my focus when I was raising mm-hmm. him. And by my third kid, I'm like, I don't give a crap when you learn how to read or write, but you have to be kind. That is all that matters. And it's insane how much my focus shifted. But as you're just exposed to the world and how you want to raise your kids, you learn so much over your journey. And I'm like, I don't care when you read or write. Like, just be a kind, good person. That's what really matters.
It's so funny because I think I've been thinking a lot about what legacy I want to leave for myself. And I want what imprint my kids will have in the world. And it goes back to exactly what you just said. It's, I want people to think of us as kind, caring, loving humans who would do things for others. And all of those nitty gritty day-to-days of, you know, for me, it's going back to reading. Like you said, one of my daughter, she's 5, she's struggling with reading right now. And those, for me now, it's easier to put perspective on it when I look at the legacy and being about kindness and compassion and taking care of people. Yeah. I would love to talk about turbans and what would your son have? What's it called?
It's called a patka. So it's patka. P-A-T-K-A, just if that's easier.
Yeah. So can you talk about in understanding why they wear them, what's the purpose behind them and why do they wear them?
Sure. So back when the Sikh religion began, they didn't exist. Nobody wore, or the common person didn't. Turbans were worn by kings and by royalty. And so our gurus, as I said before, they fought the caste system. So what they did was our last guru gave everybody kind of this turban, and said that you're now all elevated to royalty. He gave all men the same name of Singh, which means lion, and he gave all women the same name of Gaur. And that means, I mean, literally it means princess, but really I tell my kids it's more like warrior princess. It means like the strong royal woman. And so he gave all men and women the same. Some people use it as their last name, some use it as their middle name, but just to make everyone equal. And the turban was really a part of that. And men wear it, some women choose to wear it, some people do not wear it. It's really just where you are on the path. But we were given it. And so a child wears a patka. Also another reason is we kind of feel that it's a sign of respect. So head coverings are not that abnormal. You see them in other religions. You see them in Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam. So it's really a sign of respect with God to keep your head covered. So that's another reason why Sikhs wear them. So the kids start out wearing a patka when they're a couple years old. We tie their hair up in a knot on their head. I usually braid it. I have a whole reel on this because I really wanted to just take it off and, you know, get rid of that mystery of what's under there, because that's what I used to hear as a kid from other Sikh kids that I knew. People would tease them like, is that a meatball on your head? You know, and it's just like, here, this is what it is. You don't need to wonder. You don't need to be curious. Like, it's hair. So you tie up their hair and you tie up patka, and whenever they're in public, they have it on. It's a sign of respect towards God, and we ask other kids not to touch it, not just as if, you know, it was some other respectful item. You don't want to play with it. You don't want to tug on it. If you want to feel it and you want to ask nicely, you're welcome to, but you don't want to grab it. So as they get older, that then changes into a turban, or what we call a pagri or the sar. Turban's kind of the generic word. And that's what they wear every day as they get older.
Is there an age where that shifts over from a patka to a turban?
Yeah, it's usually somewhere around the teen years. We have a ceremony called the Star Bandi ceremony, where this kid will really just be highlighted. All the family and friends come together and an elder will tie his first turban on him. And it's a really sweet ceremony. And actually, I didn't even know about it growing up. I didn't know a lot of Sikh boys who kept their hair, but my husband came from a family where it was much more common. So I really only learned about it once I got married, but it's a beautiful ceremony and I can't wait to do it with my boys. And people are finding fun ways to make it more like a bar mitzvah. Like,
that's what I was thinking, fun ways. Yeah, like a
coming of age ceremony. So we'll see what we come up with when we get there. But usually around high school, college, boys will start tying a turban themselves.
Is a decision that's like the timing, because I know bar bat mitzvah is like, there's usually a specific age, right? Is a decision that's made by the parents or by the child that they're ready?
It's usually by the family, like when they feel the child is ready. I don't think there's a set age. It could be as young as like 8 or 10, it used to be. I think now people lean towards more like the 11, 12, 13. You want them to really feel a sense of pride. And so I think when you feel they're ready for that is the best time.
And you mentioned how you hadn't really been a part of a family where they kept their hair. And can we talk a little bit about the significance of hair in the Sikh religion? Like, what is the significance behind the braid and the long hair, not cutting of the hair?
So we feel essentially that our bodies were created by God in this perfect form that he or she created us in. And so we should not then alter this gift that we were given. And like I said, everyone's on a different path. Everyone fulfills their responsibility to that differently. So I always say, I'm not the role model. Don't look at me as an example, but I do what I can. So that's essentially it. It's our connection to God. And I think the hair part really gets highlighted more because it is so different. But really it is just, this is the body you are getting. God made you in this form. Why would you alter it? And that's really the gist of why we keep our hair uncut.
It's such a simple and clear reason. It's, I think so often, myself included, there's got to be this bigger reason to it, but it would equate to other religions, not, you know, piercing bodies or whatnot, right? It's, this is the body that you were given. Don't alter it. Simple. It's perfect the way that it is. That's it. It's not anything.
It's so simple.
But
really, it's just, it gets highlighted because it is so different. You're not used to someone not cutting their hair, you know? So I can see why the hair becomes the focus, but really it's just a small part of it. It's not, our religion is not just keeping your hair. That's just a small part that gets highlighted because it is so different.
And you mentioned that the men will in public wear their putkas or their turbans, but in the privacy of their home, you know, anything goes, I'm assuming, fair game. But right. My question to you is, and I don't know if this is a fair question, but then social media, right? Where does that fall into it? Is that that sort of level of variation? Is it in public? What is the rationale and what is the boundaries or the gray lines there? Because that social media is this weird gray, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like real, but not real.
Yeah, exactly. I had to ask.
Yes. So with our oldest, I would have never posted a picture on Facebook of him without a putka. It's just like, oh my God, no, you can't have someone see that. But as they got older, and we used to go to his classroom, we would show a putka. We would never untie it. We would never mm-hmm. show his hair because we just felt like that was so wrong. But by the time we have our second kid, we just realized that there's more of a benefit to it than there is a disadvantage. And it's not like I'm posting random pictures of them with their head uncovered. But if there's a purpose, like the video I made showing how to tie his hair up, then I think it's great. You know, why not? I know not everyone's comfortable with that, and I totally respect that. But if I'm comfortable with it and my son, more importantly, is comfortable with it, then why not put this out there so that other people can kind of see what's under the putka and make it not be a mystery?
I love that. And I think I benefited from it. Absolutely. Right. It's so interesting, and it's something that I don't get to often see. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
I am curious about the levels of like variation in the Sikh religion. Because I think of like Judaism as an example with, you know, not eating, bacon. Let's just use that as an example, because I personally love bacon and it's always on the top of my mind. But there's variations as to, you know, I have some Jewish friends who are like, I love bacon, and then some who would never touch it if their life depended on it, right? So is there that big variation you find within the Sikh religion, or is it all, you know, you have your rules and you're just sort of all on the same page?
Oh, it's 100% the same way you describe Judaism to be. It's really, Sikhism is a path. It's never, there are rules, there are things that we should follow to be an ideal Sikh. And the whole point of Sikhism is to become one with God. So we believe in reincarnation. We believe that you are reborn countless times until you reach that level where you can become one with God. So our purpose in life is to try to get closer and closer to that. Now, that being said, we're still living this one life and we're all on completely different paths, and they are influenced by the family we grew up in, by our social circles, by whatever, but there are 1,001 variations of how people practice, but there is still one ideal. It's just not all of us are there, but as a Sikh, we are supposed to always just be trying, you know, to get one step closer.
I think the reason I asked is because I know that if we're trying to dismantle some of these stereotypes and some of this perception, I think it is so different. And then there is this variation in how you practice versus this ideal path does differ. And I think that's an important note for anybody, is that everyone has an ideal for whatever they're trying to accomplish, whatever their life looks like. And the path to get there is going to change every single day. And nobody is perfect regardless of their scenario. Like, think of a parenting, right? Like, let's go back to your viral yelling reel. Ideally, we wouldn't be yelling and losing our SHIT, but sometimes that just happens.
Yeah. No, that's exactly true. Like, just like everything else, it's a path, and we try our best and we do what we can, and we know in our hearts, we know what's right and how we should be. But, you know, we're human, and so we're trying our best, and we just keep, every day is different, but we keep trying.
Oh man, I could talk to you about this forever, but is there anything else you want to share with the audience or that you want to add?
I think we touched it all. I mean, my mission, like I said, is really just to be out there and entertain people. And that's the light side of me, just wanting to have fun. And escape from all the mom duties and everything else that, you know, I have on my plate and just find this little escape that's just for me to do whatever the hell I want to do with. Yes. You know, I love when people are like, this is my page. You know, I can do whatever I want with it. And I embrace that. You cannot tell me what to do or what to post. This is all me. This is really my outlet. And it's rare as moms that we kind of get that. This is mine. Like, nothing is really ours, not even our food. It's eaten off our plate. By little kids.
Little birds. But,
yeah, this is the first time I've really just felt like this is my space. So I'm really just out here to have fun. But at the same time, I'm so excited to share my family with everyone and to share my religion with everyone and to answer all these questions that I know people have, because that is the best way to get rid of bullying, to raise empathetic children, and to just live in a nicer world, is to really just give people the answers and let them know that we're really all the same. So that's it. I mean, I think it's everything we spoke about, and that's my mission. That's why I'm here.
I think you're balancing it perfectly. And I again, which is why I was like, I have to lock her down before she gets too famous, because
I don't know about that.
You never know, because you do. There's just this like likability to you as well. And then you have this humor and then this greater mission, which I, you know, people want to support, right? So it's this cool trifecta. Is that the right name?
Yes, I learned that word recently and I love it.
Yes, go us. This cool trifecta of stuff that makes you really interesting to follow. So if people do want to follow you, where can they go online?
So I'm on Instagram at That Punjabi Mom, and I've reserved my names on all the other social media channels like I'm supposed to. So we'll see where it goes. But for now, Instagram is where you can find me.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much for doing this and being so transparent and funny and gracious with my questions. I so appreciate it.
No, you are amazing. Thank you for having me. And I just really, really enjoyed our conversation.